Let's read in our Bible again, please. This time in the Old Testament, the book of Job, chapter 33. The Old Testament book of Job, chapter 33. Job 33, verse 14. Job 33, 14 says this, "For God speaketh." That's what I want you to think about for tonight. For God speaketh. I was trying to think today about what we need to hear in 2025 in a world where a lot of us don't know what's up or down, what's right or wrong, and who's who. Very confusing world, isn't it? In a world where we look out and we say, so much has changed in many of our lifetimes. We think that so much has changed in the past 20 years. So much has changed in the past 100 years. Think about how much has changed in the past 2,000 years. Or how much has changed since the beginning of humanity. And I wondered, what is it that we need to realize in 2025 that has never changed? I think it's this. Hell is still real. Sin is still serious. And God is speaking. Just those three things I want you to remember tonight. Hell, still real. That should change our view of everything. If you haven't thought about it, that should change a meeting like this from a time where we come together to become educated on the Word of God to a time when we come together to listen for what God has to say. Because hell is still real. And sin is still serious. In a world that refuses to acknowledge even the standard of morality that the Bible puts forward, let alone see that sin or an offense against God is anything serious, it still is. And God is speaking. God is speaking to us. See, that's, and I'm going to get into that a little later, but I want you to think in those terms. A meeting like this is a time for you to gain information, right? But you could do that on the internet. I hope we know that. Now, most of the information on the internet, see, with the amount of information that's on the internet, statistically, most of it has to be wrong. Think about that. With the amount of information that's out there, mathematically, most of it has to be wrong. But you can get information on the internet, all the information you want. And if there's not enough information on the internet right now, you could type it into ChatGPT and it'll make something up. You can get information. But this meeting is more than just a time to collect information about God. This meeting is a time where God is speaking. And from the beginning of a meeting like this to the end, we should be listening to see what God is saying. So hell is real. Sin is serious. And God is speaking. The Lord Jesus himself spoke about the realities of eternal punishment. He talked about people. People who were heading for eternity. On their way to eternity, they had nothing to look forward to but suffering. He talked about a place, he said, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Very simply, what he was saying is this, that there are people who are living and breathing, they were living and breathing in his day, and they were heading toward death, like all of us are. And after death, for them, was going to be a place where the fire never goes out. Lord Jesus said that. The fire is not quenched. I would take it that there's two ways to put out a fire, right? You could take water and put it out, but really what you're doing is you're starving it of oxygen, I believe, when you do that. But you take away the oxygen from the fire, or you just take away the fuel from the fire. But a fire in our world can be put out. It can be quenched. The Lord Jesus said, there's a place where the fire is not quenched. But he also says, where there, worm dieth not. And the idea there is not about the fire and its being everlasting, but about the fact that the person never goes out of existence. So that when we are telling you about the biblical reality of hell, we are talking about a place where the fire will never go out and where the people will never be burned up. That's a difficult thing for us to imagine with our finite mind, but the Lord Jesus told us about it. The Lord Jesus told us about a man who in this life just lived his life, but he had the best of everything. He had the best food, and he had the best clothes, and he had the best house. But in the end, he died, just like everybody else. Now, I think it's important for us to understand from the Bible that the man didn't go to a lost eternity because he was rich. That's not what he's saying. The man went to a lost eternity because he refused the word of God. He refused to listen to the voice of God. And the Lord Jesus tells us this, in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. What if I told you tonight that we could bring that man back from hell and stand him up here? 30 seconds. Give him 30 seconds to give you a message after spending 2,000 years in fire. What do you think he'd say? Do you think he'd get up here and he'd start to talk about the benefits of stock market investing? Do you think he'd get up here and he'd start to talk about how short your life is and how you should devote your time to whatever you find fun because you only live once, right? You know, there are people in this world and that's what they preach from religious platforms. But if there was a man that actually came back from the fires of hell and stood on this platform and looked into your eyes, you know what he would say? Exactly what he said in Luke 16. Send someone. Tell everyone. Warn them that they don't come to this place of torment. You see, if hell was not real, then this wouldn't be as important as it is. If there's anything more important than this gospel in this world, you should be there hearing that message tonight. You're wasting your time with this, right? All this is going to do is make it hard for you to sleep. And if hell is not real, then why would you lose sleep over it? But it is. And it's not just people 2,000 years ago that were in danger of hellfire. The fact is this. There are people dying every day in Prince Edward Island, and some of them lift up their eyes in hell. Where their worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. Hell is still real. But sin is still serious, right? Very difficult in our world to bring people to accountability for their actions. I'm going to say that in a different way. A lot of people get off with a lot of things in Canada in 2025. They get off with telling lies. It's not illegal to tell lies, I know. I can't call the cops when you tell me lies. But people get off with a lot of lying, right? And lying is rewarded, believe it or not. If you're sometimes the best liar gets the job. Sometimes the best liar gets the sale. Sometimes the best liar gets the girl. Sometimes the best liar gets the boyfriend. Sometimes the best liars are rewarded. We look around and we see people who are creative accountants, right? We call them creative accountants in that they can move their money around to maximize their gains. Yeah, maybe, but really what we're saying is sometimes they're a little bit crooked. Yet, they get off with it. We look around, there are people who are abusive. They get off with it. There are murderers who don't get brought to trial. There are abusers who don't get put in jail. In our world, in our society, there's a lot of people that get away with a lot of things. But remember this, in God's world, nobody gets away with anything. So that when it comes to sin, there will be justice. You know, I'm thankful for the justice of God. I hope you are tonight too. You know why? You can be thankful for the justice of God because all of the people who are hurting people tonight and don't get brought to trial and don't get their just rewards in this life, you know what will happen? Eventually, they will be brought to justice. In a world that we call so unfair, right? Because it seems like the most crooked white-collar criminals end up in the highest places of power with the most money. And we might stand back and say, how is that possibly fair? Well, it's not fair. How is that possibly justice? It's not justice. And they may never be brought to justice in this life, but there will be a day when they will be brought to righteous judgment. You say, why are you talking to me about criminals and politicians? Because you might never be brought to the consequences of your sin in this life. You might get away with your lies. You might get away with your stealing. You might get away with just about anything. But remember, there's coming a day will be brought to justice. Because nobody will escape that judgment seat. So to be very clear, sin, all sin, is serious. Sin has consequences in the future. But sin right now is keeping you from God. I know you haven't thought about that today, so I want you to think about it for the next 4 minutes. Sin is the only thing keeping you from God. See, I could stand up here tonight and I could itemize all of the different things that the Bible calls sin. But really, when it comes down to it, it's just about your sin and your God. So that while we are here tonight, my sin is not separating you from God. David's sin is not separating you from God. Even you go back into the history of the Bible, Adam's sin is not the sin tonight that you need to be concerned with. It's your sin. And your sin has actively and continuously separated you from God right up until this point. So that this broad road that David was talking about when he pointed to the chart that is going down, the default road, the road to eternal destruction, as we've been hearing about, that road is leading away from God. But that's because of your sin. It's because of your sin. If you continue. Now I'm going to say it this way. If you continue on this road, you continue to be separated from God. If you continue on this road until you die, you will be separated from God for eternity. That's the seriousness of sin. It's separated from God now and separated from God for eternity. But think about it this way. If your sins were to be taken away while you're here, there's nothing keeping you from God. Because that's the only thing that separates a person from God, is their sin. So that if your sin was to be taken away, there'd be no separation. No separation in this life, and no separation in eternity. You see, sin is really the crux of the matter, so that if your sins are not forgiven, you remain separated forever, and if your sins are forgiven, cleansed, and taken away, you'll never see the fires of hell. That's how much revolves around that three-letter word, sin. So hell is real. It's still real. Sin is serious, and it always will be. In fact, the reason for the gruesome nature of the death of Calvary is only because of sin. Nothing else. God didn't stand back and say, I would love to see someone die. And I'd love to see them die in the most violent, graphic, and gruesome way. I would love them to be mocked, and I'd love them to be taunted, and I'd love them to suffer. That's not the heart and the mind of God. Sin caused that. And the reason the cross is so, can I say it, impressively violent is because of sin. So sin is serious. Hell is real. Sin is serious. And God is speaking. I'm thankful for that last one. That God is still speaking. For God speaketh. God speaks in different ways. Now, I'm going to tell you this because I want you to remember it. God speaks through the circumstances in life. God speaks when something happens to get you thinking about eternity. Right? Very simply, when something happens in life that gets you thinking, oh, if I die, where will I be? When you witness something, maybe someone else goes into eternity, and you say, if that was me, would it be heaven or hell? When you have a near miss on the highway, or something happens where you almost think, oh, that could have been serious. And then you start to think, well, if it was serious, where would I be? That's God speaking. Because God is trying to get your attention so that you will stop on this road. He's trying to get you to think about your destination so you will turn on this road. Repent. Come. That's why God is speaking. But God doesn't just speak through events. God might even just speak in your thoughts. So that when you think about meeting God and it bothers you, that's God speaking, see? We call it the conscience, but God is using the conscience to get your attention. When Job says here, in dreams and visions of the night while he lies on the bed, it's not just random dreams. It's something where God is trying to get a message across to get you to think about spiritual things, to get you to think about your connection or lack of connection to God, and to get you to think about meeting God. That's God speaking every time. So he speaks through the circumstances of life. He speaks in that still small voice and your conscience, but God speaks through his word. He's still speaking through his word. See, many don't know it, and more people don't care. We live in a world that's apathetic. If you don't know what that means, you're not alone. I had to look it up too. Apathetic. It's like, oh, well, that's good for you, but I don't care. We see people suffering all the time, and it bothers us a little bit until we turn away and we say, oh, well, I don't care. We talk about the sufferings of Christ and the cross of Christ. People don't care. We talk about God speaking in the gospel, trying to get your attention so that you will stop and turn, and people don't care. And yet God continues to speak. He speaks. What is he saying when he speaks? God speaks messages of warning. God speaks messages of judgment. But God is calling to sinners. Every time he speaks, it's with the design to get you to come to him. Turn from whatever it is, whatever way you're now going, to turn and come to Christ. So that God is speaking when he calls, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. God is speaking when he cries, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. The cry of the Savior is God speaking. The call to repentance is God speaking. The announcement, the promises, the gospel, that's God speaking. Now, with the last minute I have left, here's what I want you to do. Stop pretending and start listening. That's all. Stop pretending, start listening. There's all kinds of pretenders on this road. Tons of pretenders in this room. But there's no pretending here. And there's no pretending here. So rather than leave this room tonight and say everything's okay, start listening to God. Hell is real. Sin is serious. And God is speaking. We'll pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus and the cross. We are thankful, Father, that in the days of the Lord Jesus, his teaching, his preaching, his life was so contrary to the culture of that day that it pointed to the reality of his message. And the cross was so foreign to the minds of the Jews, it became a stumbling block. And it was so absurd to the minds of the Greeks, they called it foolishness. And in our day, as we've been hearing, we talk about the cross, and people have become used to it. Tonight, Father, help us not to become used to these things, but to be affected by them every time we think about the reality of that cross. Father, we pray tonight that everyone in this room would have the courage to face the reality of the Scriptures. Give us help now to sing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.